And I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I know you probably haven't had this experience recently, but have you ever had the feeling of being in an airport or at a big event, and you stop and you look around at all of the people, just the big crowds of people, and you suddenly feel really small? Almost like you have a moment when you realize, wow, I had no idea there were this many people in the world. It's a very disquieting feeling. For some people, it causes anxiety. It's really unnerving to realize how small your world can be. When you're thrown into a giant mass of people, it can feel like you're a little lost. So last summer, Darby and I and our sweet husbands, Tom and Mark, we all went to go see Paul Simon perform in Greensboro. The Greensboro Coliseum seats over 20,000 people, and this was Paul Simon's farewell tour. So it was a really big deal. The whole place was packed. And I was worried I would feel that anxiety of feeling a little overwhelmed, feeling a little lost. But it didn't matter because it was such an amazing show. And actually, part of the fun was looking out over all the crowds and feeling like, wow, there are so many people here, and we are part of it. All of these people came together, and we are standing perfectly still, quiet, and listening to Paul Simon sing Bridge Over Troubled Water. It was incredible. It was not like that feeling like when you're in an airport and you feel kind of small. It was the opposite. It was that feeling of, wow, right now, in this moment, we are all united in our focus. All these people from Winston-Salem, from Greensboro, from High Point, from Durham, wherever, everyone came together from all these different places. We all have different views, different needs, but right now, we're all together in this moment. It was the miracle of unity. Right now in that room, everyone was focused on just one thing. I think all preachers have acknowledged that the pandemic has changed how we read Scripture. And one of the things that has changed for me was how I read the familiar story of Matthew in the feeding of the 5,000. What jumped out at me when I read this story was not all the usual details, you know, the disciples coming to Jesus and asking for help, the fish, the bread, the 12 baskets left over, all those typical details I did not pay attention to. What jumped off the page for me was the number of people gathered together, 5,000 people. A number like that is something that I have taken for granted. 5,000 people gathered together and all united in doing the same thing. I do wonder, as I read this story, what that crowd would have looked like and what it would have felt like to be in that crowd that day. What would everybody have been thinking as they look around and they see Jesus far off, but they look around at each other and they see everyone who showed up? Were they wondering if Jesus could see them in the middle of so many people? Were they maybe feeling a little bit lost in that sea of faces? The bad thing about being a part of a big crowd is that you do feel a little less special. This is not a personal me and Jesus kind of moment in Scripture, although those moments do exist all over the place when Jesus interacts with people. This is not one of them. This is when you see Jesus far off in the distance, healing people and preaching. And when it comes time for you to receive and be fed, you might not get to see Jesus up close. It might be one of his disciples that puts that bread and that fish in your hands. This is a different experience of the kingdom. It's a shift in perspective. And there is a sudden realization that this crowd is having, that when it comes to the kingdom of God, you're a part of a really big community. You are alongside people who are just as hungry for Jesus as you are. And for the Christian, this perspective is important, because an experience of Jesus as far off can be just as powerful as an experience of Jesus close up. It reorders your understanding of the kingdom. It diminishes your sense of self-importance. You realize that you belong to something much, much bigger than just yourself. Now, we are a part of a pretty big church here at St. Paul's. It's one of our great blessings to have such a big community. And it is pretty incredible to be looking in the camera right now and knowing that there are so many people out there all tuning in. We're all focusing on one thing right now. We are so lucky to be united in this community. And right now, you know, standing in the nave here, looking out in this room, I'm looking out and I'm seeing empty pews. But normally, when we're gathered together here in person, if I'm standing in this spot or if I'm standing up in the pulpit and I look out at the nave, on a good Sunday, I could see probably close to 200 people. And these are all, your faces are ones that I know. You know, I look out and I know your names, I know your families, I know your pastoral needs. And when you stand in this spot, it is a wonderful view of a community that I just love. But I do know sometimes I have been in the opposite seat, sometimes when I'm in the pew, and maybe you felt this way too, that in a big community, you can sometimes feel a little lost. It's hard to feel recognized when you belong to a big church. And you might sit in church sometimes and wonder about all the people around you, if they see you, if they know you. You might wonder if God sees you and knows you. It happens to us all. I mean, this is something, no matter how confident you feel about your place in the community, this is something that we all feel sometimes. We all can feel small in front of God. And we all wonder if God really sees us in the midst of the crowd. We all can feel a little lost sometimes when it comes to God. Perhaps the miracle in Matthew's story, then, is that simple, unflashy way that Jesus makes people not be small. He recognizes each and every person on that hillside, and he meets them in their lostness. He sees them and he tells them that they matter because he feeds them. He gives them just such a plain meal. I mean, bread and fish and just a little bite of each. And miraculously, that's all they need to feel fed and to feel connected. 5,000 people. Can you imagine it? Standing in line, waiting for hours just to get a bite to eat from a man that they have heard speak off in the distance. 5,000 people. And they all are fed. There is an enormous joy to that fact, that so many people are given what they need. It's not a banquet. It's not a feast of rich food. It's not going to keep them fed forever. But it is a sign of God's kingdom, that Jesus sees what the need is, sees you, sees me. And in the end, everyone will get what they need. Even when there are so many people gathered up together, taking up an entire valley of space, crowding each other with all kinds of complicated, different needs, even then, everyone will one day have what they need. I do say this with the confidence of a person of faith, but I do know how privileged that sounds to say that we will all have one day, we will all have what we need. I do know, you know, our world is one of a lot of hunger and a lot of pain. And every day we learn of someone else in our lives that does not have what they need, whether they suffer from cancer or COVID or job loss or chronic pain. There's so many people in need in the world. I know that. And I also know that as a white, middle-class American Christian, I know how this sounds. I know that the promises of the Christian faith are foreign to many people in the world who are suffering, many people who have not had my experience of Jesus and church. I know this. But I think that's actually what makes this miracle such a radical sign. Jesus is standing in front of thousands of people. They all have their eyes on him. They're all focused on him and waiting expectantly for him to do something about their pain. And Jesus sees that need and he meets it with provision. It's not a banquet. It's not anything but a simple meal, but it will get you through till the morning. Jesus looks at that massive crowd and he says, they need not go away. He is the source of what they need. He brings them food to see them through the night. This is what Jesus does. When you feel lost, when you wonder whether you matter to God, when there are so many other really hungry people around you, look to what you do have. Look for the signs of provision, because Jesus speaks to his people through provision. Jesus always provides what we need. Where is there God's goodness in your life? Where is your own bit of bread and fish that will see you through the night? The miracle that he performs is one that shows us what the kingdom of God is really like. This is a new kind of kingdom. It's marked not by scarcity, but by this outrageous abundance. This is a community where we can trust that even when there are 5,000 people gathered together in this big, swarmy, sweaty mass, we can trust that all of us are going to be fed. What is remembered about this event, what the disciples remember when they tell this story later, is not how big the crowd was or how little they had to give or how long it took to distribute it. What they remember is that everyone was fed. This passage draws a picture of the world as a big, big place with a lot of pain. But God is bigger than that pain. This is a scene of one of God's extravagant outpouring of love to the masses. It's a sign that Jesus' miracle is to feed us all of us, not just one person, not the prettiest one or the smartest one or the one who pushed to the front of the line or the one who says they're the most hungry. It doesn't matter. Jesus feeds us all. It is what he does. So when Jesus breaks the bread, when he passes out the fish, he gives it to us all. It is the miracle of unity. Thanks be to God for such incredible, outrageous abundance. Amen.